I'm sorry, Ms. Darvish. Is there any way you can make that bigger?
I can try. So, is that better?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Lisa, are you asking for comment?
Not yet. I'm letting everyone read it. I'm trying
quiet
to be-
time. It's quiet time, Jonathan.
So this is one of those times where I'm getting used to the new process. This is a presentation. We will go through the CSMC presentation. We'll take public comment, and if there's questions, I'll bring this document back up, and then we'll have board discussion. So I think on that note, I am going to hand it over to CSMC to do their more numeric presentation.
Perfect. Hi, everyone. I'm Susan Lefkowitz. I'm the Regional School Business Director for CSMC. I've been with the CSMC for about 7 years, been working with OSA for the 1920 school year, most of which. I'm going to see if I can share my screen. I know it's late, so we'll try to get through these. Okay, can you see my screen okay, everybody?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So we're just going to start. Obviously, these are the two prior budgets that were introduced that the committee was considering. These were prior to the governor's May revision. So this just wanted to just recount where we were at before. So some of the factors that led to our new projections we were projecting the 5% and a 10% was kind of a guess at that point. So the governor's released his budget. There was a statutory COLA of about 2%. So in his budget, that COLA went away. And then there was a 7.92% decrease on top of that. So that's where that 10% cut comes from. You did receive a little bit of COVID relief money. I think it's about $14,000, so that has been added. And then the new calculator was actually released on Friday. So we've run new projections using the new calculator, and now we feel more confident with the revenue numbers. So this is currently where the budget sits. So still with enrollment at 815, average daily attendance at 758. So I believe that's a 93% attendance rate. So total revenue at just over 9.7 million and expenses at 10,616,000. So still showing a deficit of 869,673. So then we wanted to just do a breakdown of the projected revenue. So your main big source of revenue obviously is your LCFF, so your state aid, your EPA, and your in lieu of property taxes. And that totals estimates at around 6.4 million. And then we get into the other state revenue. So these are things like the mandate block grant, your lottery, unrestricted lottery, and your restricted lottery. We have heard that they're projecting a slight decrease in lottery, but that hasn't been, those numbers haven't been released yet. We're hoping that by the end of June, we'll have some more information there, but there may be a slight reduction in lottery funding, you know, for 2021 also. So you also have your SB 740 rent reimbursement. There's $848,000 estimated there, and then your special ed revenue. So that makes up your state revenue. And then your federal revenue, you have federal special ed. This is the COVID relief money, $14,239. And then your title funding, so Title I, Title II, and Title IV. And then you have this chunk of local revenue. And I think Kimberly was going to touch on local revenue. Is Kimberly, are you on, Kimberly?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, everyone. So I think the most important thing just to point out to the board and to the public, just a lot of these dials on this page are things that we don't control. You know, there's a formula, we're given a certain amount, a lot of the federal funding in terms of COVID relief and things are based on our Title I numbers, which as everyone knows are not very, you know, high for our school. So where we do have flexibility and where we may see changes at the next board presentation, we'll look at advancement and see if given the times, if this is a realistic number for the advancement department. We'll look at rental income and decide with the people that we rented the property out to, will they still pay some type of retainer? Do we just completely think that we're going to lose all rental income? Show revenue, where we need to put things in place to ensure that people have an opportunity to make donations during shows. So these are things that we still, you know, are gathering input, talking to the advancement department just to make sure that we hopefully don't end up having to reduce our local revenue, because local revenue is a big part of what supports OSA.
Yeah, I'll just chime in real quick. I'm trying to restrain myself, Susan. First off, it's good to hear Kimberly talking about turning dials. So she's stealing my language. That's good. I want the board to sort of put a pin in the $900,000 number you see for advancement. So that's fundraising. Yeah. So the current year we had a budget of about $1.2 to $1.3 million, and we're going to come in at about half of that. So we're going to have to watch this one closely. We're going to need to monitor it closely. I've talked to a number of folks about sort of what to expect during economic times like this. And historic cycles have sort of shown that the philanthropy from foundations isn't impacted right away, but there's about a 12-month delay in decreased philanthropy when really bad economic times hit. So we need to be cognizant. We'll talk in a few minutes about multi-year, but we need to really watch this. We need to understand what's going to be just, but we may not see the impact from foundations until about a year from now. So we just need to continue to monitor that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mike. Okay, so then staff has come up with some potential projected savings in your operational expenses.
And so this would be with the closure of the school for the fall. These or potential savings that we found. Now, mind you, there are a lot more operational expenses that we have, but these are our flexible ones. Some of the things, for example, like we have not adjusted our tech budget, we have not adjusted materials and supplies, money that we budgeted for textbooks, because although we will be off campus, we don't want to take away the flexibility that teachers will need to teach their students. Now, at the end of the day, if it comes out that we have a savings, and that's excellent. But for now, we just didn't want to adjust those. Other areas, like some things that we can't adjust for the school, we can't adjust how much we pay in our insurance premiums. We can't adjust leases that we have for the copiers. We can't, unless, you know, we work through that and try and figure out a plan for that. But we still will need the leases upon the copiers upon the return. So it's a lot of, you know, give and take. In certain things, we have Lori, who is our director of operations. She's reaching out to those people to see if we can get flexibility and some savings there. We don't want to necessarily cut building maintenance. We don't want to cut repair that we have because equipment may come back and we don't know what things we may have to fix. The line item for like educational consultants that we have for the school, we have to keep in mind, we still have to do SPED. We still have to have people give guidance to our teachers, if need be, on how to work remotely. And then we also want to make sure we still leave room for unexpected expenses. We may get a request sent to Mike Oz that says, I need this software to help reach out to students that have fallen behind because of remote learning. So these are the things that we found that we could definitely save, like utilities. We've already suspended waste management, recycling. We will save on PG&E. One of the areas that we're looking at also is other space rental. Part of this is not just the savings, but we don't necessarily want to send our students out into the community, even if it's in the spring. Yeah. You know, we don't know everyone that's coming into these buildings. So that's up for discussion. If we just take a year off of renting facilities, take a year off from doing field trips, we will save a little bit for the printing that we did for fall shows, you know, publications and things like that. So with the things that we know we can shift for with the closure in the fall, we've come up with $247,000 in savings.
And can I just like to clarify, so Susan showed a number a couple minutes ago that had $860,000 deficit. This is chipping away at the deficit. In other words, these savings are not included in that number. So this is climbing back to break even.
Right. So we did get a recommendation, you know, from Lisa that we will go into remote learning in the fall. So the next step will be to apply these numbers to the budget since we have been given the final recommendation for that. And then we will continue to look at areas. We'll wait to see if, you know, our director of operations has more news. You know, they did give us a 10% savings in our dental costs with that, which at the end of the day doesn't amount to thousands of dollars, but hey, we'll take it. Mm-hmm. So there may be other notifications that come from our vendors. We also will not have to pay a cleaning crew to come in. So these are the things that just added up in the operational savings.
Right. Any questions or comments about that? No.
So we're not doing comments yet.
Okay.
Or questions yet. That's during public comment.
Okay, perfect. So we did include, and I think everyone has the slides, we included a few slides just showing the current balance sheet, and then, which is here from April, shows your total assets. And then we just broke down each of the categories of the balance sheet. And so in the essence of time, I don't know how specifically you want to go through this. I know everyone has it. We've given details, you know, so that's.
I just want to flag one thing.
The board has it. I think you should walk through it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Mike, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I would focus on this slide. We're happy to share the whole thing. I think in the interest of time, these are some of the salient points. I want to flag a couple things because it's going to tee up an upcoming conversation. So first off, the slide that's on the screen right now, you see a number of investments, U.S. bank bond series. That's money that's going to be paid out to pay back bonds in December that we issued bonds back in 2004. So that's the money we can use to pay the bills.
Correct.
So when you look at the other numbers here, this circles back to the reserve conversation that we've had. We do have a very large fund balance, but there's only a portion of it is unrestricted fund balance or money we can use to pay the bills. So we're working with CSMC to tighten down our reserve calculation so we know where we're going to end this year. I want to remind the board that in earlier this year, we passed a policy that we're required to have 10% reserve. That based on next year's budget, that would be about $1 million. The state of California requires us to have a 3% reserve, which based on next year's budget would only be $300,000. So we're going to monitor what reserves will look like this year. And then we also need to really look at it on a multi-year projection so we can see, because this isn't what we're facing and what Susan's describing is not a one-year problem. It's going to be at least a 2 or 3 year problem.
And I just wanted to chime in also, again, just to piggyback off of what Mike said, even though our technically cash in bank amount is you know, over $3 million. That includes restricted funds that can only be used for a certain portion. Like Mike said, this $981,000 that we have to pay off our bond, the bond was actually $1 million. So we're hoping and praying that the investment account grows to that amount in December. If not, the school will have to make up the difference. The Merrill Lynch account is, you know, set up for the amount of reserves that the board approved with the resolution now. So there would have to be discussion to dip further into that. So even though we have this $3.7 million cash amount, out of all of that, the amount that we have available is like cash on hand that we can go through is $1.1 million.
Right. Yep. And the other interesting thing too is when we look back at the last 10 months, your average monthly expenses are around $813,000. So when you, you know, break it down, it's about 43 days of kind of operating expenses at any given time in this amount here.
And also there is a we've heard from the governor that there might be funding delays come July, June. So although OSA is receiving funding right now, should that be pushed back any further, it means that we're going to be bleeding through our cash very quickly.
Yeah.
And we'll have to discuss reserve options. So, right.
Okay, so moving on, other current assets. So we have the pledges receivable of $4.5 million. So this was the promise to give from the Oakland Port Authority. And this $4.5 represents the entire amount pledged over a 20-year period. So it was all booked at once. So that's what that $4.5 million is. Amount.
It's the remaining balance, Susan.
Yes, sorry.
It's not the full 20-year balance. Yeah.
Right, because we adjust it every year. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. That's the balance as of April. Right. Small amount due from granting governments. This was probably just we overestimated a receivable at the end of 1819, and that, you know, that will go away. And then we have $908,000 in prepaid rent for the Fox, a little bit in advances that are owed to the school from an employee. And then we have this $37,000 in other current assets that was booked when OSA came on with CSMC, and we're currently trying to go back and see exactly what's included in that and see if we can actually, you know, clear that out. Maybe that becomes unrestricted asset. So that will to be continued on that little piece there. And then on your balance sheet, you have your building and leasehold improvements. So this is being depreciated over, I think they were a 5-year and a 7.5-year depreciation expense. So when the projects were done, cash went out of the bank at that time to do the projects. And now you're recognizing the expense, you know, over this 5 to 7 year period. So currently, if nothing else is depreciated, your depreciation, this $712,000 will be completely written off, I think, in 2024. So you have a couple more years of recognizing that depreciation expense.
It's important to note, just to make it clear, the last two slides are not funds that the school can access. It's not liquid cash. It's not like we can go to the bank and draw money out of these things. These are just booked on our records as assets. They are not paid to us. They go out. So a reminder, the only amount of liquid cash that we have is what was shown on the first screen.
Okay, I think Lisa wanted to take you go over here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So this was a lot of information at the end of a lengthy meeting, and so I'm sure everyone's head is spinning quite a bit. But the question we ask now is, how are we lowering the deficit? This is what our deficit is. What cost savings do we have? A review of the budget just took place, and we put a list together of all possible potential ways to possibly save money. If you could go to the next slide, please. So this, we called it the brainstorm over ways to save. This was having many different lenses from the finance piece, from different folks, really taking a close look at the budget, combing through it, and just whatever we could find where possible monies could be saved was put on this list. If you notice, what we're doing is we put it at a hierarchy, meaning we'd like to access the categories that don't affect staff, salaries, or benefits first. So when we see rent, this was actually a big one coming from faculty as a suggestion. So we will be reaching out to our landlords to see if we can get a reduction in rent. We just put this up for you to eyeball. This 10%, if we got a 10% decrease in our rent, that would be $25,489 a month. So we won't be using the physical building for 5 months. So we could do the math on that. I will be asking for more than that, but we use that as a sample. Due to not using the building, we have the facility operational expense cuts, which we really just kind of went through. That was the books and supplies, food and food supplies, the operations and housekeeping, which is no employee of ours. That's all contracted services, utilities, space rentals, field trips, printing and reproduction. So that's $247,697. The increase in ADA attendance percentage, what we did was we put a 1% increase so we could just put a number next to it so people could eyeball. So this means when students are present and attending school, we receive funding for the students. And when they're absent, we don't. So currently we have pretty good attendance, but if we increased our attendance rate, the school would receive additional funding. And that's where it would be. Continue to review spreadsheet with staff input for expense savings. So what we did was we brought the faculty together to share an update over the remote planning for next semester and what our current status looked like with the budget. And at the end of the meeting, when we were talking to over 100 people, it was hard for them to engage in a big conversation with us. Mm-hmm. So we asked for feedback, and there were 4 questions that the faculty answered. One was on collaborative cost-saving ideas. One was on cost-saving opportunities and programming. One was on fundraising ideas, and one was any other comments or questions they had. So we've been taking those comments and putting them in, and we're circling back to that a lot. If we happen to increase enrollment, we're projecting 815. That's the safe number for the school. But for example, if we added 10 more students next year, it would be $146,809 increased revenue. We eyeballed the utilizing a portion of the PPP fund to possibly offset expenses. Now, this is a loan, and it can only be considered a loan until it's possibly forgiven. We wouldn't know this, whether it could possibly be forgiven, until at least September. So again, we're putting all ideas on the table. We looked at a cut to administrative leadership salaries. That would be $11,025 per 1%. No salary increase for all employees. That's $123,545. An all employee pay cut. These were, you know, items we were just trying to put a number attached to it so we could eyeball in terms of how much, how little. And at the very bottom of the list, layoffs and program cuts, last resort. So as you can see, there's no concrete piece that we're putting together to say this is the plan for our budget. We are looking at all options on the table. And when we're given a final number of what our budget is, we are hoping that it will decrease in the deficit so that, because hopefully we will be able to utilize the PPP a little bit and carry over a slight deficit, and then what we would have as a deficit would be smaller. I hope that made sense. I did want to share a couple of things. We know that our deficit is, but we don't know what the bottom line number of the budget is. There are decisions that have to be made about the budget before we're able to see what that is. And I wanted to share a quick scenario with you. 3 weeks ago, our deficit was $1.1 million. 2 weeks later, it dropped to this number. That was almost a $210,000 savings. Okay, our current deficit for this year went from $550,000 to $350,000, and this was due to the fundraising endeavors by the Office of Advancement, and they're continuing to fundraise as we speak. So I really want to honor all the comments that were made tonight and all the sincere concerns, but I also want to bring to your attention a lot of work that is happening behind the scenes that's not being seen and recognized. And our Office of Advancement is a small office, but for them to bring down our deficit, $200,000 in such a short period of time is pretty wonderful. They also just embarked on another fundraising adventure. So one of the things we'll be addressing on a much larger scale is how you can assist and volunteer and help. There are a lot of ideas tonight, and I hope you join us in our State of the School address. The last thing I would want to say is I just from the bottom of my heart want to thank Ms. Stacy Smith. She and I have formed a lovely relationship in the past month, and she's really opened up to me, and I've really opened up to her, and I've learned a lot from her, and I just want to thank her for her sincere, I'm sincerely gratitude. So thank you so much, Stacy. I really appreciate my time with you and the support you've given me.
You're welcome.
I did have one more piece that we touched on a little bit. But every opportunity that schools have to apply for COVID relief funding, we are definitely planning to take advantage of every opportunity. We get word from the CDE and from different components that applications will be released, and we are staying on top of those. CSMC is making sure that I'm kept up to speed with those, that Lisa's kept up to speed with those. So any opportunity that comes from the state, outside of just regular fundraising and advancement things that are going on, any program that's released, it doesn't matter if it's $5,000 or whatever. Like I said, any amount will definitely help us as we work to shave this budget off. So outside of looking at things that are happening in-house, we are definitely looking outside of that and trying to take advantage of every funding or grant opportunity that we can to help shave this deficit off. And on a personal note, I just wanted to say also that my experience has not been like the parents at OSA with distance learning. So I just want to applaud everyone here, everybody, all the teachers, the students, the families. I've had two kids in middle school that I've had to create work for while trying to make sure I'm doing what I'm doing. So you guys have been doing an amazing job. I just needed to say that.
Thank you, Kimberly. Mike, did you want to add to the presentation?
Uh-oh. We can't hear you.
You're talking and your hands
are open. Hi, how we doing? Okay. First off, just a couple of clarification things. One of the benefits of outsourcing what we do to CSMC is that we get a pool of resources that are experts on this stuff. We don't have to have Kimberly understand all the stuff. She can go to friends at CSMC. There's a network of people that can help us keep on top of these grants. So super appreciative of that. I want to clarify one fairly minor point that reduction in rent could impact our SB 740 revenue projections. So we'll have to think about that. Yeah. I want to spend literally 2 minutes just talking about PPP loans because there's new news today, but I just want to make sure the board is anchored on what has happened and what's going to happen. So we received a PPP loan in the amount of $1.5 million. The window of time that we can spend that money currently with based on current regulation is May 8th to June 26th. It's an 8-week period of time. During the 8-week period of time, we are not making changes to staffing. So there was a comment made earlier about we're making decisions that are going to, you know, cost us money, leave money on the table. That is not true because it's an 8-week period that's currently being measured. So to the extent that we keep positions over that 8-week period, we will be fine. I've got a call with Kimberly tomorrow because I've spent a lot of time on the front line of PPP loans. The goal would be to have as much of the loan forgiven as humanly possible. And the way you do that is you spend the money based on the categories that are allowed, which is 75% towards payroll and payroll-related costs, 25% towards facilities. And we're going to work to maximize that. There's a couple things you need to take a look at, which is you can't double dip. If somebody's charged you a Title I grant, you can't also charge them to another federal program. So we're taking a look at that. The guidance that I've given to other organizations and others are using is assume that 80% will be forgiven at some point in time. It's hard to assume 100% based on the rules just because 8 weeks is a very tight window. That said, we're going to continue to work to maximize everything we can. Now, things got interesting about 6 hours ago when a bill passed the House of Representatives in D.C. that said they could extend the spending window until December 31st. Okay, that's good news in that you can put more money there. This has not gone through the Senate, but it's a bill that's got some traction. So I flag that because it may not be until early 2021 before we know what, if anything, will be forgiven. A longer spending window could mean that we have to wait longer to get confirmation of what we have available for use. But I want the board to understand that I would say for planning purposes, we have $1.5 million loan amount. If we assume 80% is forgiven over time, that's $1.2 million in potential forgiven, but it's not forgiven until it is. Okay, it's a loan until it's something other than a loan. I can't say that enough. And we need to think about how we can use those funds over a multi-year budget crisis. So it's one of the dials we can turn, one of the levers we can think about, but I just want to make sure we're anchored on that because there was some mixed messaging coming earlier. I just want to make sure people are clear on what our loan means to us.
Thank you, Mike. Any other presentations? And then we will move to public comment. So far, I have one person who wants to talk on public comment. Just put it in the chat if you would like to. Okay, one. So I will start. I'm sorry, I forgot your full name, Mama D. I feel like I'm ordering a pizza or something.
I'm Denise. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
People in the community call me Mama D, and I've been Mama D as long as I've been a mom. But anyway, I just want a little clarification regarding SB 740. Without reading this crazy amount of text regarding charter schools getting reimbursed 75% of their lease and rental costs, if every charter school is now a non-classroom-based charter, then that gets kind of sticky. So is that legislation shifting at all because of the crisis, or is that still going to remain the same, a 75% reimbursement for the remainder of at least this year, if not next year? Do you have any information about that? That's it.
I can answer that. You're still paying rent somewhere, so it still should still qualify.
I haven't heard anything specific yet either, but I think the same thing, like as long as you have a current lease and you're paying your facility costs, that should still stay intact.
Okay, great. I just want to check on that because obviously our rents and leases have been on my mind since we lost the billboard funding, which if new parents aren't familiar, we had these fabulous billboards that Jerry Brown set up years ago that covered our vast majority of our rental costs for our school, and that disappeared. So that's been on my mind, and I thank you for explaining that.
Jeremy Taylor? Go ahead, Kimberly.
I wanted to clarify on that. We haven't completely lost the billboard funding. What we found last year was that what we projected that we would bring in from the billboard revenue was lower The plan is set in place, I believe, until 2026. The thing that's different now is the amount is not always guaranteed. So we still do have the two billboard revenues. Susan, is it until 2026? Or Mike, you guys know? But we still have it in place. It's just not as reliable in terms of the amount that we receive.
And we're factoring that into our multi-year plans.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying that, because that hasn't been clear the past couple of years, and it's been brought up as an issue at many meetings, and we just thank you so much for clarifying that.
No problem.
Jeremy Taylor?
I just had some clarifying questions on the PPP stuff. I don't know if Mike's going to be able to, since new stuff is coming out, I don't know if you're going to be able to answer it or not. But I'm unclear why, if we got 1.5 million, why the slide that's up right now, why it's only referencing 300,000 of it. Certainly, most of our budget is salaries, we've been told over and over again. So certainly we could easily direct money towards salaries if that's what we're being told we have to direct money towards. It's not like we would run out of salary categories, it sounds like to me. I don't know. My understanding of the law is that as long as you use it for keeping people employed, that it isn't the law written that it turns into a grant. So I'm curious what the gray area that's leading to your skepticism that it might not be forgiven.
Yeah, let me. Sorry, were you done, Jeremy? I didn't mean to cut you off.
I can remind you. It was like a three-part question, which is probably annoying, but. And last part is, even in the worst case scenario, if they didn't forgive it, I assume that doesn't mean they call us up on like January 1st and say, give us $1.2 million back, and that there's a period of time spaced out to pay things back.
Yeah, in reverse order, the current terms call for we begin loan repayment 6 months after loan origination, which would be November 8th of this year, and we would pay back at 1% interest over 24 months. So if nothing else, if we were just a loan, it would be an extremely attractive cash flow loan in these times when the state's going to be deferring our money. To the second question, the reason that I'm recommending 80% is the loan application process asked you to, your loan amount was capped at 2.5 months of salaries, but the amount you can claim is an 8-week period, not a 2.5 month period. So there's some shrinkage there already. To the extent that you have enough offsetting facilities expense to make that up, that's great. But it's, and the other mitigating factor there, Jeremy, is that we do have some folks charged federal grants and other grants that you can't double dip, and that was one of the questions I asked as part of the application process. And I forget your first question. Sorry.
The first question was about the difference between the one.
Oh, yeah. So here. So in an ideal world, we've already got the money, right? We document everything. We look at the 8-week period of time. We submit it, and we find out in mid-July that it's now converted to a grant. So yeah, we could spend that entire $1.5 million or $1.2 million discounted all of next year. But the recommendation is we spread the benefit of that over multiple years, because we've got a multi-year funding crisis here in the state.
And Jeremy, if I can just chime in there, that's why that 300,000 was put on there, because I had heard that grant would be used for like multiple years. So that's why I put that on there.
I should just clarify, that is strictly a management/board decision as to how we choose to use the funds. But the worst thing we could do is get $1.5 million in July and all of a sudden just, you know, go spend it right away thinking that we're going to get another $1.5 million the following year, because we're not. So we just need to make sure that the idea is to be cautious and spread it over time.
So that's spread it over 4 years or so? Is that why it's only 300,000?
Yes. Again, that's when we get to the board comment, we're going to talk about dials we can turn, and that's one of them. So let's hold that for a couple minutes if we could.
Thank you.
Hey, any other public comment? I only had those two comments.
Chris Bradburn put a comment in the chat. Are we able to answer? Is that an okay way to ask a question?
I responded already.
I'd rather Chris ask it so that we stay with the process. Okay. So Chris, you want to read your question?
Oh, sure. No, I've been looking at the 990s, and I keep seeing these funds growing. And the 2018, it was 10 million plus in assets, and I'm not an accountant. I just need some help in understanding where these funds are coming from or what they're about, because I understand they're not available.
Yeah, we'll get to that one of the when we talk about the board conversation, the board dials, Chris.
Okay, any other public comment? Okay, I'm going to move it to board discussion. I think we have some comments and questions. Who would like to start? Okay, I'll ask, first off, Kimberly has been killing it. thank you, Kimberly. Really came to my house in the middle of the night to get PPP loan signatures. Really, really appreciating you, Kimberly. So there was a question about, this is not an informed question. So I know we've gotten cuts on our insurance because we're not driving. Is there a possibility if we go to remote learning that we could have a lower insurance cost because we won't have kids in the building? Or am I just making stuff up?
What you're insuring is the contents of the building itself. We don't own the building, so we're not insuring that. So that's not necessarily going to move very much.
But what about the liability insurance of having kids and adults in the place? Am I just making this up?
I don't think insurers are going to think of it that way. We can certainly try, and I'm happy to be part of those conversations. But literally, if you say there's 4 months where nobody's going to be building and one person sets foot in the building, you've just broken the insurance clause, and you've opened all risk that they would be insuring against.
Yeah.
Okay.
According to Charter Safe, they're expecting all insurance to go up next year.
According to whom, Adrian? Thank you.
Lori may also have some input since she talks directly to the insurance
policy, and that still is in place because everybody is still covered by workers' comp.
So even though they're not in the building, they're still covered in case they drop their computer on their toe or something.
You've just expanded the workers' comp risk by people being in 300 different locations.
Fair enough. Okay, thank you. Other board discussion and questions?
Hey, Lisa, it's Dwayne. Not a question. It really just a comment. And anytime you're managing, a budget, and this is sizable, but it could definitely be larger. I just want to commend Mike, everyone as Kimberly, everyone who has worked on this, and being able to synthesize it down to a point where it makes sense for those that are not actively involved in the finance committee or involved in this work effort, and being transparent so that those that are parents, teachers, others can see. And I just, again, this is a key piece of the future of OSA. And so I just want to commend everyone that's been working on this.
So I have some comments and then a couple of questions, and they may not all be answered today, but just want to put them out there. First of all, I want to thank you all for the written board report or the presentation, and reiterate how important it is, from my perspective, to have written reports on the budget. And I would hope that in the future, we would always have a written report on the budget. This is the first written report I've received since joining the board 3 months ago. So I think this is an important step forward. And thank you for the additional information that was provided. I did have some questions about the consultant costs in the line item budget and would like to have more detail on that. There's several categories of consultants that I would like to receive an overview in terms of the financial services, the legal. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody else is talking. But several categories of consultants that I would like to have more information about in the line item budget under operating expenses, services and other operating expenses. Also, in terms of the PPP, plan, I would love to see a couple of scenarios that show the proposed allocation of the PPP over the initial approved 8-week period, and then a scenario that looks at if it is going to be extended through December, what that scenario would look like in terms of spending plan. In addition to that, I think, you know, it is really important to have realistic, but also a little aspirational on the development goals. And so I did not see a breakdown in the material in terms of the advancement between donations, the annual fund, and grants. And so I think it's important to have specific targets in each one of those categories. I also don't see in the budget a listing of the specific grants. So I think that's also important to share with the board so we can kind of track that particular process. I'm happy to help on the development side of things. I do development as part of my job. And so happy to help out there. In terms of the rent request for rent reduction, I think that could also be posed as a donation from the building owner. That might be more attractive to them than a rent reduction. So I think it's important to maybe offer a couple of different ways that they could bring the rent down. In workers' comp, I know some of the workers' comp companies have special funding that they've allocated in the form of grants to support the purchase of PPE, as well as training and other safety efforts that employers are using to address the COVID-19 increased risk. So I think if we haven't gone after any of that funding, I would strongly recommend that. And I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Did you want me to answer, or was someone?
Yeah, you can answer.
Okay. Thank you. So in this, I'll try and remember all of the questions. So the difference between the consultants, we have the regular consultant line item, and we have a line item for educational consultants. So the educational consultants focus more strictly on dealing with the students. So included in that line is some SPED work projections for that. We have to leave money in the budget for that. If we have to use services such as teachers on reserve, that would fall under educational consultants. Regular consultants would be people that come in and maybe a consultant, for example, we have Measure In consultants that have come in and worked with Stacy and Mike in terms of setting up that program. So they're not directly student-faced consultants. So that's the difference between those categories. So what's included in those right now, we will have a rollover amount from our Measure In funding because, you know, COVID, we didn't get to use all of the Measure In consultant money. So that will need to be rolled over and used next year. So that's included in that budget. Also consultants that it could be any outside consultant that we use for the school. Another one is if our advancement team reaches out to say a major gifts advisor. So that would be considered an outside consultant. It could be anything that falls outside of the parameters of what we usually do as a school. So those are those two different line items.
I think I would like to see like a list of the individual contracts because I think one of the potential budget cuts or additional budget cut proposals could be a reduction in consulting costs.
So I want to, okay, we can work on that. I do want to mention that that line item before we got to COVID was already cut as we prepared for the budget. So we have already done that as a first step, but if you could possibly send me an email just so I don't forget, and then I will touch bases with the powers that be to try and work on getting that for you. The other, can you remind me the other piece? You had a question about advancement. Oh, the breakdown of advancement. So usually what happens is Catherine, the director of advancement, will do a presentation that breaks down those amounts. And that's why Mike was saying we're working to see if that's a number that we will turn. So she will present, usually it's talking with the ED, it's talking with the finance committee, and she provides a specific breakdown for that. So when that's available and those numbers have been finalized, we will present on that. Did I miss a question?
I just had also suggested that we look into the workers' comp insurance grants that are focused on increased safety costs associated with COVID-19.
Okay. Got a note for that. Okay.
Other board comments, discussions. Also, please remember we put the values up. If we are comfortable with those, I'd like to share them with the community.
So
I wanted to say one more thing about the consultants. In the past, educational consultants has also included consultants that have come into the school for the arts departments. We know with the passage of the law, we've had to be very careful on making sure that, you know, we're not putting the school in danger by having consultants come in that should be employees. So those things are being looked at for this year also. Which consultants can they continue to bring in with the budget situation that we're facing, but also does not, you know, put the school at risk for breaking the law? I know that it's flexibility and that's changing now. So as those consultants come up, they will be discussed.
Okay, I think we had a couple of other comments. Jonathan and then Wei-Ling.
On the values that we put out, Elise, I think we should make, or at least consider making, the number one value the safety of our students and the safety of our teacher and staff community. Because I think we'll be making a lot of decisions that are based on that, including whether or not to open schools in the fall. And I didn't see it sort of explicitly mentioned. I think we should start with that.
Great, I will add it especially, I'll add it probably both to the student one and the staff one.
Thanks.
Wei-Ling?
Yeah, I wanna really also echo thanks to Kimberly for putting together this report and gathering all the other information. It's incredibly helpful to have. And I know you worked really hard to get it together for this meeting and the finance meeting. Where does income from gigs show up in the budget? Is that in performance revenue also, or is there some other line item where that shows up?
Yeah, it's called show income, I believe, on the revenue slide.
Okay, so it's the same as like a performance at the school. Like if the choir goes somewhere to do a performance, would that, is that all in the same line item?
For performances, yes, that's all in the same line item.
Okay, great. Does anyone know if we are eligible for the employee retention credit, which is another CARES Act credit? It's about $5,000 per staff person in payroll taxes. If we don't know, we should check, because it's a very helpful
source of CARES Act funding. I think you get one or the other. You either get the PPP or you get that.
Okay. And I think that the other question I had is, when we have on here a certain savings for, you know, if the staff were to take a pay cut, do our numbers around the increased cost of staff, because the, you know, the way staff cost increases, people go up in the steps, which that gets them a 2% raise or something. Do we factor in how turnover would impact that? So, you know, if it's somebody who's about to move up in a step leaves and then is replaced by a brand new hire, or do we have any formula where we sort of put that in, or are we assuming that everybody's staying and moving up a step? That's a question.
As far as I know, there is no formula in place. The number that was put out was just, let's look at if this happens. So that could be something that we look at and something that we consider. But in the terms of what was presented tonight, those things were not taken into account with that number.
Okay. And then another little question is, how is attendance going to be counted moving forward? I saw that they're each what percent increase in attendance could get us more funding. Do we know how do we in a remote learning situation count attendance?
Yeah, we don't know that yet. That's one of the things okay. that we're waiting on for clarity on. One of the home run scenarios would be that every kid gets 100, you counted 100%, which would have a huge impact to us. But what's going to happen if that does happen, you know, multiply that across all the school kids in California counted 100%, and they're going to run out of money pretty quickly.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And then the last thing I would say is just, I really want to congratulate us on this format that we did today. I feel like, you know, it was really helpful to have the information, the presentations, followed by public comment, followed by, you know, board discussion. And I just think it's, you know, much more transparent. The information that was provided to everybody was very helpful. And so, yeah, I think we've kind of hit on a home run here. So I'm excited about continuing to do this moving forward.
I remember your other question, Josefina. You asked about financial services. What was that line item? And that line item is...
Leave your hand, Susan.
That's CSMC. So CSMC not only provides financial support for us, they also provide support with our student information system, PowerSchool. So they come in and do trainings in terms of every year, letting our counselors, letting attendance clerks, letting us know how to run that system the best that we can. They also help us to certify our student reports that have to be submitted into the CalPATS database, and that's the California database for all student information. So they go in, they let us know when there are errors. If there are errors, they work with Arlisle, Mike, Romy. Those are the main people that work in PowerSchool to help certify and clear those errors so that our reports can be submitted on time. So they're not just about processing, you know, financial things for us. They offer other services outside of that. So that entire line item is just our contracted fee for CSMC.
As well as all SPED reporting, financial reporting and compliance.
So I'm going to recommend or just put my opinion out there. I think we should base our budget on 95%. Lisa and I had a conversation about if we go remote, there will be some people that will we could repurpose to up the attendance, to call people and, you know, really get that at least up to 95%. So, you know, when we come back on the 11th, there's going to be a draft budget. So I'd love to hear, I'd recommend that. I would recommend that we allocate some of the PPP loan. And I'd love to hear some ideas of what people are comfortable with, what, you know, let's give some guidance on what we're comfortable with having in the budget that we look at on June 11th.
Elise,
come on. Yeah.
Seeing a proposed PPP forgiveness calculator and then taking something like a third of that.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Adrian.
What are the downsides to increased enrollment?
When we return to the building, we can't fit the kids.
It's tight. The 815, in talking with Mike and the staff, the 815 is a solid number. They're pretty full. That's what we currently have and going with. The idea of when we do return to the building, having additional kids, it becomes very tight. It also, we want to be very cognizant of our relations with COSATs and class sizes and that kind of thing too. So, you know, I'm looking at it from many, many different angles.
Are we confident of the 815, Lisa?
I'm sorry?
Are we confident of the
8.15?
Well, our aim is to get 8.15 every year. Currently, we're under that. And I think what we were aiming for was sending out letters to the students and their families around 850, because then you have some not accept the acceptance and move, and it will whittle down to 815. It's sort of the matrix that we've been using.
Well, I'd like to anchor the board on a couple of things, if I could, Elise, to try and package it together. First off, I want to clarify something Dwayne said. I deserve zero of the credit for what's happened so far, Dwayne. It's the other people involved. And I'd like to point out that Wei Ling noticed when I stopped presenting, the presentation became much more appreciated. So thank you for that. No, it's we have a couple big things to figure out, and this is tying back to Jeremy's question and to Chris's question. But first, I want to share a philosophical thing. People are tired of hearing about my experiences at Aspire Public Schools, but I went through this as CFO of a 30-school charter network 11 years ago. And we knew it was going to be 3 years of very, very difficult funding. And what we did was we would always try and stay what we called one step ahead of the state. If the state said we're going to cut funding 5%, we'd assume they'd cut it 8%. If they said they're cutting 8%, we'd assume they're going to cut it 10%. We built budgets based on that. And unfortunately, we were right several years in a row. If it were up to me, we'd actually be taking a look at the current state guidance and shaving that down to create some conservatism. However, we have a couple mitigating things that are going to help us through this. And we have to decide how we think about them in a multi-year financial picture. The first is the PPP loan proceeds. Again, literally the news is changing every 48 hours about when we will know what will be forgiven and how much. It could be August 1st, it could be January 1st before we know that answer. So we just need to know that that's one of the dials that we can think about turning. The other big dial we can turn to Chris Bradburn's question and something that Jeremy brought up last time is, I'm working with CSMC to make sure we have crystal clarity on what our reserve balance is. Yes, there was $10 million, but $7 million of that was restricted relative to the billboard stuff. We're not going to get into accounting now, but I'm working with them to figure out that answer. We showed a slide a little while ago that showed our cash balance. We need to make sure that we have an airtight understanding as a board of what our reserve is, how that compares to our 10% reserve number, and understand how comfortable we are. I know we're above the 10% number. We got to figure out how comfortable we are getting closer to that. And we also need to be cognizant that we're solving not just for the upcoming school year, but for the next 3 years. So we need to be cautious. We need to be careful through this. I talked about, I don't know, an hour ago about fundraising. So our $900,000 number could drop to 600 and drop to 300 over the next couple of years if historical trends are holding up. So those are the dials that we as a board need to be thinking about. And that's what staff is thinking about as we continue to go on our budget journey together and craft something that gets close to break even. I will tell you that from where I sit, I don't think we're going to get to a break even budget without using some reserves and or PPP money.
Right.
Well, that sucked all the life out of the room.
I think maybe it's more that it's almost 11.
It could be.
Yeah. But I do really want everyone to comment on what you're comfortable with. I think,
Elise, I was just going to add to Mike's last statement that, you know, there's a reason that we carry reserves. And never one's goal to deficit spend. However, this is an economic downturn that's totally unexpected, nothing that anyone could have planned for, hopefully not to be repeated in the near future. I think that we need to have a multi-year plan, 3 to 5 year multi-year projections, so that we can look at what it'll look like 3 years out. If we should dip into deficit spending this year, how are we going to make sure that in 2 to 3 years, we're back in the black moving forward?
Yeah, and I just want to clarify, thank you, Jason, for that. We are required to submit not just next year's budget, but multi-year projections to go out 3 years to OUSD.
To
To me, one question that reserves related to, I mean, I agree with what both Mike and Jason said about that being, you know, a possibility that I'm comfortable with, is dipping into reserves given how unprecedented these times are. I've always associated the reserves with the question of facilities and really digging into when is our rent going to go up? How much is it going to go up? How is the billboard money disappearing over time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we going to buy a building, right? It would be good to have some money in the bank when we're trying to buy a building. So trying to figure out some of those questions as we look at the reserves and really drilling down into what some of those options are, I think would be super helpful.
Yeah, thank you for waiting. Sorry, were you done? I was going to just react to that real quick.
I just had I have a different thing, but go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to, we have a lot of new board members since last time we had a retreat, but at the last retreat, I worked with staff to run some sort of 5-year projections on what the school would look like given a couple factors. One was that assuming that our per pupil revenue goes up by cost of living every year for the next few years, 2-3%, while our retirement costs, our funding for the pension plans was going to basically double over a few year period of time. It did indicate that our fundraising need would go from $1.2 million per year to $2.5 million per year in rough numbers. Well, that's now a best case scenario, right? So factoring in what Wei Ling said, we also need to factor that in. Yeah, in a few years, it may be beyond this 3-year window that we're presenting to the board or to the district, but we also need to make sure we have some reserves to mitigate that because the billboard revenue does have an expiration date. Sorry, back to you, Wei Ling.
Yeah, the other thing I would just suggest is, in my work, I work in and around the hospitality industry, which has, been hit and is at about 10% revenue right now from normal times. And so we've tried a lot of different things and creative things. But one thing that's out there is the Families First leaves of absence. And I don't know if any of the staff have been, asked or if they're interested in taking advantage of that for short amounts of time, especially senior staff in my organization. A lot of people have looked at that.
We've communicated with employees and they know that it's available to them if they want it.
Yeah, so is EAP. Before Matt left, he wanted to let me know. He wanted me to ask, he asked, EAP is available to all parents. It's been to all families. It's been encouraged and some have used it. So that was one of the questions earlier in the night. Okay, any last thoughts from the board on the budget? Otherwise, we're gonna adjourn after our 5-hour meeting. Okay, thank you everyone for hanging in there and engaging and being really thoughtful and listening to the community. Yeah, thank you so much and have a great night and I'll see you on the 11th.
Thanks everyone, have a good night.
Thank you. Oh, the meeting's adjourned officially. Okay, sorry.
Goodbye, OSA.
Goodbye, Stacy, we love you.
Stacy. Yeah.
Stacy.
Oh, so
good luck in all your endeavors.
We're going to have, when we can be together, we're going to have a party for Stacy, the board is. She knows that.
Thank you, Stacy.
Love you, Stacy.
Bye.